This is the Hoove It or Lose It podcast, hosted by Pastor Andy Hoover.
Well, we're continuing in our series called The Last Days of Jesus, and we were scheduled to finish up tonight, but we decided to kind of extend it a little bit and spend just a little bit more time looking specifically at the resurrection. And the reason for that is because there's just so much there. You know, there's so much truth, there's so many moments, so much significance wrapped up in the resurrection and the significance of that, that I don't want you to miss any of that. So we're going to kind of break it into two. We're going to talk a little bit about tonight, and then again on Easter Sunday, we're having the break on Sunday happening here at 10:40, 10:45 on Easter Sunday morning. I encourage you to be back for that, and we'll wrap up the series. Well, Jesus made some pretty amazing claims as he walked the earth. He said some really outrageous things, some really outlandish things, some really audacious things. Some of the stuff he said, just to give you an idea, he claimed that he had lived a sinless life, which was pretty amazing. He claimed that he was the only way to God. He claimed that he had the ability to forgive sins. I mean, the people that heard this, the religious leaders of the time, were just flabbergasted by this, right? Like, they couldn't understand how delusional this man was, that he thought he could forgive people's sins. He claimed that he was a heavenly king. Then he claimed the most heretical thing that any person could claim in their minds. He claimed that he was the son of God himself. I mean, people just flipped their lids when he said this, right? I mean, people just lost their minds because of the outrageousness of this claim. He then claimed that he was going to be able to grant people or give people everlasting life. I mean, people were just losing their minds over the claims that Jesus made. And then he goes on and he makes this the most ridiculous, the most outrageous, the most audacious, the most outlandish claim that any person could make. And there's a specific reason why this one's so weird in their minds. He goes on to make the claim that, hey, he says, I'm going to die and then I'm going to come back to life. I mean, people were freaking out. I mean, people were losing their minds. Not only does he say, he continues to make this claim just countless times, guys. Just countless times he makes this claim. And he's really honest about it. And I appreciate this about a person who says what they're going to do and then does what they said. Does, do, did. Did it. He did it what he said. But I appreciate a person who says up front, this is what I'm going to do, and then they go and they do what they said they were going to do. That's amazing. He says it. But then he goes on. He says this in Matthew chapter 17, verse 22. He says, after they gathered again in Galilee, Jesus told them, I mean, Jesus is super honest about what's about to happen. He says, the Son of Man, speaking of himself, is going to be betrayed into the hands of the enemy. And so he's mapping it out for them, right? He's telling them, hey, this is what's coming. This is what's going on. And then he gets even more specific, and this is how outlandish this claim is. He gets even more specific, and he puts a timeline on it. I mean, I'm sure throughout history there have been men and women and crazy people who have said, I'm going to come back to life. And people are like, what? He's like, at some point in the future. You know, and then he just kind of dies, and people forget about it. Right? But nobody's forgetting Jesus' timeline because it's 3 days. He says, hey, I'm going to die. I'm going to stop breathing. And then I'm going to come back to life. I'm going to rise from the dead. Not in a year when you forget about it, or 5 years or 10 years or 100 years. I'm going to do it. Just hang on, in 3 days. He gives this claim. He says this in John chapter 2, verses 19 to 21. He says, all right, Jesus replied, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up. In verse 20, what? They exclaimed. I mean, I love this. What? What are you talking about? It has taken 46 years to build this temple. These guys are clueless. Jesus isn't talking about the temple. He's not talking about the physical temple. What's he talking about? He's talking about himself. And they look at him and say, what are you talking about, Jesus? You don't even know what you're talking about. You're so crazy. I mean, you can imagine they're looking at each other, right? They're like, this guy, huh? Who's a nut? This guy's a nut. This guy's crazy. This guy's insane. He doesn't even know how long it took to build the temple. Can this. And Jesus, he says, and they said, you're going to rebuild it in 3 days by yourself? What are you even talking about? But when Jesus said this temple, see what he was talking about? He was talking about his own body. These guys were so clueless. They didn't even see it. It goes on in John chapter 10. There's another passage in verse 17 and 18. Says, Jesus says this. He says, the Father loves me because I sacrificed my life so I may take it back again. No one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily, for I have the authority. Listen to this. Jesus is claiming in this verse to have authority over life and death and life again. He says, no one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily, for I have the authority to lay it down when I want to and also to take it up again. For this is what my Father commanded. Jesus looks at these guys and he says, hey, I'm going to lay down. And then what I want, I'm going to get back up. I mean, their minds were blown. They just couldn't understand the ridiculousness of his claim. It goes on in Mark chapter 8, verse 31. Then Jesus began to tell them that the Son of Man must suffer many terrible things and be rejected by the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious law. He would be killed, but 3 days later, he would rise from the dead. I mean, you guys, listen to this. Jesus was super abundantly crystal clear about what was about to go down. He was super clear about what was about to happen. And even as clear as he was, there were still some that didn't believe. Now, some didn't believe because they just refused to believe, right? I mean, some of them just said, flat out, I'm going to refuse to believe. It doesn't matter what you say, Jesus. You're ridiculous. You're outrageous. You're delusional. There's just no way. I'm not going to believe that. There were some people that just refused to believe. But yet there were others. There were others that didn't believe because, and this is really what I want to hit on tonight. There were others that didn't believe the outrageous claims of Jesus. Specifically that he was going to come back from the dead. There were others who didn't believe because, listen to this, this was new territory. I mean, this kind of thing hadn't ever really been done before. I mean, this was pretty uncommon for somebody to get up in front of other people and say, hey, I'm going to die, but 3 days from now, I'm going to come back to life. I mean, this was pretty uncommon. There weren't just resurrected people walking around. It wasn't like, you know, the family was gathering like, oh, I was really sad about Uncle Bob. He died 4 days ago. That's amazing. That's awful. Hey, Bob, you're back. I mean, that wasn't happening, right? Like, nobody was used to these types of claims. Nobody understood what Jesus was talking about. And here's the parallel, guys, that I want to make. And this is the parallel that I believe is powerful in this particular account of Jesus' resurrection. And most importantly, his claims of resurrection, the outrageousness and the ridiculousness and the audaciousness of his claims of resurrection. Here's the parallel that I want us to make. God sometimes wants us to do something new. Sometimes God is calling us to something fresh, right? Sometimes God is calling us to something uncommon in our lives, and yet we find ourselves resisting this new thing. We resist this fresh idea. We resist this uncommon thing that God wants to do in our lives. Why do we resist it? We resist it for those very reasons. Because it's new. And we resist what God is doing because it's new and because it's uncommon. And I've never really seen anyone do it like that before. And it's never really been done like that. And, you know, God, what you're calling me to do is impossible. I mean, God, what you're really asking me to do is so uncommon, it's so fresh, it's so new, it's so impossible. God, what are you even talking about? Like, nobody does that. And so we resist. Here's what I want you to hear tonight. I want you to hear this, that God's ability isn't based on your understanding. God's ability is not based on your understanding. God's claims on your life aren't based on your faith. And that's good news because some of us, if we're really honest with ourselves, have some really small, tiny amounts of faith in our lives. And so we walk around our lives and we live our lives with this little tiny bit of faith that we have. And we think, well, there's no way, God, that you can call me anything bigger than this because I don't have that kind of faith. Listen, God's plans for your life isn't based on your understanding of a situation. His calling and his claim on your life isn't based on your level of faith. Why? Because your level of faith is this big and God says, I see the whole thing. See, here's the problem, you guys. We live our lives as if the only thing there is what's right in front of us. And you're looking at your situation, you're looking at your school or your relationships or your family life or your job situation or whatever it is, you're looking at just that little sliver. You're looking at that little sliver and you're thinking, God, what you're asking me to do is impossible. God, it's too fresh, it's too new, it's too uncommon. God, nobody's doing that. Like, I can't, God, do you see what's happening here? There's no way. See, this isn't what God sees. God doesn't just see what's right in front of you. God, because of his infinite character and his infinite wisdom and his infinite knowledge, God sees everything. God sees what's coming around the corner, listen, that you don't even see yet. God sees something being developed in your heart and in your life and in your mind that you're not even aware of yet. God sees a calling on your life that you're not even attuned to yet. God sees a person coming into your life that you don't even know about yet. God sees a relationship coming down the road that you don't know anything about. God sees a trouble and a struggle down the road that you haven't even yet experienced. So God sees the whole picture, and we just see this sliver. And so when we see this sliver and God calls us to do something, we're like, I don't think so. God, there's just no way that I can handle that. But God's ability isn't based on our understanding. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts. They're nothing like your thoughts. And my ways are far beyond anything you could ever imagine. Yet we live our lives as if God understands things the way that we understand things. We respond to the calling of God in our lives as if God is just this little thing and this little influence, and God has control over the universe. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Listen, if God says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. In the context of this account in Scripture, Jesus said, hey, I'm going to die, and in 3 days, I'm going to breathe again. I'm going to walk. I'm going to talk. I'm going to eat on the beach with you. That happened in Scripture. I mean, Jesus made these outrageous claims, and guess what? It happened. God doesn't need you and I, right? He doesn't need you and I to be super familiar with the situation in order to move. That's what we wait for. We sense that God is calling us to something. We sense that God is calling us to something outrageous, something audacious, something just outlandish, and we hold back because we think this. We think, well, I'm not really familiar with what's happening here. I'm not real comfortable. And so we wait. And we hold off until we get our level of comfort where it needs to be. And that's not what God's calling us to. You see, what God needs from us isn't an understanding of the situation. God doesn't need you to be tracking. God doesn't need you to be okay with what's about to come. He just needs you to be a willing servant. And listen, that's what Jesus was. I love the passage I just read a minute ago. It said, Jesus said, hey, you're not taking my life from me. I'm giving it voluntarily. Jesus was that willing servant. And see, some of you are being called, right? Listen to this. I mean, just put yourself in this situation for a second. Think about your life. Some of you are being called to go. Some of you are being called to speak. Some of you are being called to lead and to reach out and take these steps of faith, but you refuse. You refuse to move. Because you're waiting. You're waiting on like this magical instruction manual that you can just open and read cover to cover and look at all the illustrations and the pictures, and you can be super comfortable and super aware of what's about to happen. And then when you're good and ready, then you'll start to move. You see, we hear the claims, the other outrageous claims that Jesus makes in Scripture. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8, he says, do not be afraid and discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. See, you hear that outrageous claim, but you don't move because you're scared. You're scared that God won't be with you. We read in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. Now may the God of peace who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus. Listen, you see what that's talking about? He's saying the same God of peace, the same God that brought Jesus back from the grave, is the same God that is with us, the great shepherd of the sheep, and ratified an eternal covenant with his blood. May he equip you with all you need for doing his will. See, we freeze. We feel like God is calling us to something amazing. He's calling us to something outrageous, and we're nervous because we think, hey, God's not going to be with me. And then we think, oh, God's not going to equip me. We get fearful that God won't empower us. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, but those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Listen, that's the outrageous claim that God makes. He says, I will empower you. I will not only be with you, I will equip you, and I will empower you. But then we get nervous. We get nervous, and we forget about the claim of Psalm chapter 23, verse 4. It says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. See, we get fearful. We feel like God is calling us, right? He's calling us to something outrageous. But we get fearful because we think, what if I fail? What if I'm ridiculed? What if what I'm doing is so outrageous? What if what I'm doing is so uncommon? What if what I'm doing is so new and so fresh that the people around me don't understand it? And we forget the truth of Scripture that God says, I will be with you. And I will protect you. We forget about Proverbs chapter 28, verse 1. The wicked run away, but no one is chasing them. But listen to this. But the godly are as bold as lions. Why are we not bold in the things that God has called us to? Why do we freeze? Why do we forget that when God has called us to it, we can run to it and be as bold as lions? Lions don't run. Lions don't cower. They don't run in fear. They don't hide. They run towards their prize. And that's the truth for you and I. God says, hey, if I call you to something as outrageous, as outlandish, as audacious as you think it is, as confusing and as weird as you think it is, even though you're not ready for it and you're not comforted by it, and you think it's weird and everybody else around you thinks it's weird. God says, if I call you to it, it's time to move. You see, you hear these claims and you don't believe because you're scared. You're scared of the uncommon. So all the claims that we make for our lives sound like everyone else's. I mean, there wasn't a claim that Jesus made, you guys, that sounded like anyone else's. He was the only guy saying, I'm coming back from the dead. And most importantly, he's the only guy who did it. And so to fit in, we make all of our claims for our lives and all the promises for our lives fit into everyone else's. And we don't do anything radical. We don't do anything outrageous. We don't do anything bold or big because we're scared. In Isaiah chapter 30, says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. So here's the deal. You and I have to learn to walk in it. If God is for you, who can be against you? The same person in that scripture, the same power, the same strength, the same might that brought Jesus back from the dead is the one who is calling you to something outrageous. Not for your own glory, but for his. Father God, I give you thanks for this night. And God, I give you thanks for this opportunity to be here in your house. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak very clearly to each one of us. And God, there are some things that you're calling us to that we've been avoiding. God, there are some things that you're calling us to that we've been resisting, God, because we're afraid, God, because we're scared, God, we're unsure that you're going to be with us and you're going to equip us and you're going to take care of us and you're going to provide for us. God, allow us to grab hold of the promises and the truth of your word, that you will never leave us and you will always equip us and you will always empower us and you will always comfort us and you will always guide us. God, I pray for a spirit of boldness tonight. God, as we process this time together, God, that we would be honest about the things that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt you are calling us to, and we've been ignoring. God, you call us to some outrageous things. a God we follow because we believe him. We believe that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that lives in us. It's in the mighty name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Hoove It or Lose It podcast. For more information or resources, visit www.hooveitorloseit.com or on Facebook at Hoove It or Lose It.